So if you were with us last week, hopefully you remember that we engaged in the ritual of the burning bowl. And by the way, if you missed that, it's on our website. You can do it yourself at home. And in that experience, we released to the fire habits, attitudes, and actions that were no longer contributing to our greater good. And if you remember at the end of the lesson, we did a meditation where we visualized what our lives would be like after whatever it was we needed to release was gone from our lives. We thought about how our actions would change, how our thoughts would change, and how our relationships would change. And so today, the following ritual that follows the burning bowl is one where we come together to claim our new identity. And I love this quote by Kelly Isola. She says, "Recognize you are a sparkling present from the cosmos, and it is time to unwrap yourself in order to share your magnificence with the world." So today's White Stone Ceremony invites us to explore that mystic pull that we all have to exhibit our magnificence. And we do that as we ask ourselves, "What am I called to be in 2020? As I release old, unproductive habits and thinking, what fills the space? What is my new identity? What is my new name?" This ceremony, as many of you know, is based on Revelation 2:17. "Anyone who has an ear should listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. I will give the victor some of the hidden manna. I will also give a white stone, and on the stone a new name is inscribed that no one knows except the one who receives it." Now, before we unpack what that verse really means, I think we need to talk a little bit about Revelation. It is absolutely an unbelievable book and must be taken in context. It is filled with obscure, frightening imagery, bizarre creatures, and strange events, and it is not anything that I would recommend for nighttime reading. Unless you're going for nightmares, it might do that, okay? I mean, we are talking about rivers of blood, plagues of locusts, a giant red dragon, and a beast with seven heads, just to name a few elements. No one should be surprised to hear that this book is not about literal events. It is neither an historic record nor an apocalyptic prediction. In fact, the word revelation in the early Hebrew meant an unveiling or unfolding or unveiling of things not previously known. So the whole book is actually an allegory. And the various creatures and events represent states of consciousness. The underlying theme is all about awakening to our Christ essence. Now, this particular verse, if you look at it closely, focuses on two actions and three promises. So tell me, what is the first action? Anyone who has ears to hear should do what? Listen, that's exactly right. Listen. And the listen is not so much with the physical ear, but with the ear of the soul. Lynn did a beautiful prayer on that this morning. With the ear of the soul that hears that still small voice whispering within. And we develop this, of course, we know, by prayer and meditation. Practices that help us quiet our busy minds and attune to the voice of divine wisdom. Bible scholar Ed Townley tells us that this phrase, "listen to what Spirit is saying to the churches," in that phrase, the churches represent spiritual centers within ourselves. So really, this verse is saying, "listen to what Spirit is saying to us." That is the way it would be translated. So the second action seems a little counterintuitive at the beginning. It is to surrender. Now, the words in the verse we read were "to everyone who is a victor." Some of the translations say "to everyone who overcomes." But none of that refers to engaging in outer wars or conquering distant lands. This is all about inner surrender. What we are asked to overcome is that loud, demanding voice of human consciousness, that voice urging us to do, to take, to compete, to exert power over others. Instead, when we get quiet and listen and surrender to that still small voice of the higher self, then we claim our spiritual qualities. Now, the paradox is that when we surrender personal will, there is victory, actually, the victory of letting go and letting God be God in us and through us. So the three promises are to those who accomplish this particular victory. And the first is hidden manna. Literally, the word manna meant food. In the days of wandering in the wilderness with Moses, the Hebrews showed up every day and collected their manna from God. Now understand, they didn't have to work for it. They didn't have to earn it. All they had to do was be there, and the food was provided. They came every day to collect their daily bread. So manna is a symbol of always available divine supply and substance. But notice our verse says hidden manna. In the wilderness of spiritual seeking, we receive manna not visible to outer eyes. It's not outer food. As we realize the power of the indwelling Christ, our whole being experiences a new source of nourishment and energy. Jesus told his disciples in John 4:32, "I have food to eat that you know not of." So we are spiritually fed through the truth of our own Christ essence. And the second promise is, "And I will give you a white stone." Now, in Jesus' day, many of you know this, when prisoners were released from prison, they were given a little white stone to show that they had paid their debt to society, their slates were clean, and they were free. And they actually carried the stone around with them to show to other people as an example of their freedom. So what this leads us to think about is how many times have we been imprisoned by self-inflicted nonsense of error thinking, false limitations that we place on God or on ourselves, old beliefs that we are unworthy or unable? And with a release from bondage comes a sense of worthiness and freedom. Our white stones symbolize that in our oneness with Spirit, we are free, worthy, and unlimited. And the final promise is, "And I will give you a new name that no one knows except the one who receives it." To the ancient Hebrews, names were absolutely sacred. Every name represented a quality or nature of a child, and when babies were born, parents named them according to whatever essence they saw, or I might imagine would hope to see, in the child. And name changes always signify an awareness, a higher consciousness, and spiritual purpose. Throughout the Bible, there are many name changes. We're just going to talk about a few. From the Hebrew Bible, Abram, meaning father, becomes Abraham, founder of the nation. And Abraham was the patriarch of the Jewish people. His wife, Sarai, means contentious. I don't know who would name a baby contentious, but maybe she developed it as she went along. I don't know. But at any rate, God changes her name to Sarah, meaning noble woman. And in the New Testament, Simon means receptive, and Peter, Jesus changes his name to Peter, means rock. Rock symbolizes unyielding faith. And remember, Peter was the one when Jesus said, "Who do you think that I am?" Peter said, "You are the Christ." And Jesus said back to him, "Upon this rock I will build my church." And church in the day meant ecclesia. The word was ecclesia. It didn't mean a building. It didn't mean a place. It meant a congregation of people who were exploring their own Christ consciousness. And finally, Saul meant personal will. And until he had his revelation on the road to Damascus, and then he was named Paul, which means enlightened will. So at that point, he went from oppressing Christians to spreading the word and working on Jesus' message. So the point is that these name changes always mean a higher consciousness, a rise to the best of what we can be. In the words of Reverend Ed Townley, he says, "We need to know two important things as we embark on discovering our spiritual purpose. First, that the presence and power of God will nourish and sustain us, just as it nourished the Israelites in their collective wilderness experience. And second, no matter how dark the shadows may seem, or how far we might have wandered from our spiritual path, we are always closely and intimately linked to our spiritual source. This is the meaning of the white stone with the secret name. It is like a spiritual identity card, affirming our innate oneness, our purpose and our innate oneness. The idea that we are one with God, that's what the white stone represents. And so the new name that you will receive today, to be written on a white stone, is about no less. Your stone actually comes from a town called Hebron. It's near Jerusalem. And the word Jerusalem in the Hebrew meant the vision and foundation of peace, constitution of harmony, and abode of prosperity. That's what it actually meant. So if you would now take the white stone out of your bag, and if anybody didn't get one, would you raise your hand? And Mary Tumanello, and we'll bring you one. Thank you, Mary. Don't write on it yet, but get it out and get ready. Over here too, Mary. Thank you. Anybody else? So you'll notice, of course, we've said all morning, white stone. Your stone is white. White symbolizes a purified state of the I Am consciousness, an awakening to inner spirit, the freedom that comes from knowing the Father and I are one, as Jesus said. And remember when Moses asked God his name? He said, "Who shall I say is sending me?" God says to Moses, "Tell them, I am that I am is sending you." And so in this higher white stone consciousness, you're going to listen for and claim an entirely new realization of your I Am identity. You are going to receive hidden manna, all the gifts of God and full potential by consciously surrendering and knowing God is I Am. Could we say that together three times, please? God is I Am. God is I Am. God is I Am. In Isaiah 62:2, we read, "You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow." So in a few moments, you will write your name, your new name, on the white stone, signifying what you have come here to be in the new year, in the new decade. Writing on a rock, that symbol of understanding faith, will bring to you the power to become fully what you write this day. For as the authors of the book, What Have I Come Here to Be, write, and I love this quote, they say, "We live in a world of infinite potential, where every possibility exists at once, until the moment we decide." When you listen and tune in to what your intuitive sense tells you is true, you connect to divine wholeness, the infinite potential within. And so the question is, and we're going to take this in a meditation in a moment, the question is, what have you come here to be in 2020? Remember, Unity co-founder Charles Fillmore said, "It is your mission to be all that you can imagine God to be." What you will write on your stone is not about doing. It's not a goal or a New Year's resolution. It's a quality, a state of being. Ellen Davenport said, "I have never heard of anyone writing on his or her stone, clean out the garage." Not about that, okay? What you have come to be is actually more significant than what you do. It affects what you do, of course, but what you are is more important than what you do. And you are going to ask for divine guidance to show you a word or a phrase that will guide you to your full potential this year. Now, your inspiration might come in a myriad of ways. It may seem to be a voice, a strong feeling, a sudden flash of insight. Some people get it in a picture, an image, or just a deep inner knowing. The word you are led to be might be a noun or a verb or an adjective. No grammar police involved, okay? You might be led to write one of the 12 powers and decide to be that this year. Those are your innate powers: faith, strength, power, imagination, love, wisdom, will, and any of the rest. Your name might be a divine quality like joy, peace, harmony, radiance, wholeness, integrity, or courage. It might be one of our core values. We have six beautiful core values. It might be one of those. Your new name is a quality you are called to be in order to express God on this earth, in order to be, as Jesus told us, the light of the world. So in a time of prayer and meditation, you are going to have the opportunity to turn within and listen for inspiration. I want you to be open and receptive to your new name. Don't question or ask, who me? Don't play the devil's advocate, argue, debate, or ask how or what it means. Its meaning will be revealed to you in perfect divine timing. Listen, remember the process. Listen, surrender, and your name will be revealed. And so we're going to prepare to go into prayer and meditation about this by affirming the great truth about our God. And for those of you here for the first time, this is printed in your bulletin. Together, there is only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life: God, the good, omnipotent, and so it is.